Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Joe Starkey, it's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. The sun is shining.
Golf
temperature
needs to be
is
played.
Rising, and golf needs to be played.
Call in sick. I have a 2:30 tee time.
You always have a 2:30 tee time, and I can't call in sick when I'm here. That would look a little disingenuous.
Well,
now,
what if
it?
You got sick between now and 2 o'clock?
And sometimes I do when I'm sitting 4 hours across from you. It just happens.
Oh, an early shot fired. This could be leftovers from Saturday.
Because there's no leftover from Saturday. You got me hook, line, and sinker again. You'd think I'd be aware of this stuff, but everybody who calls with a name that matches their place of residence or wherever they're calling from, I get suspicious. I can't be suspicious of the entire board.
I have a plan for next time, unfortunately. I'm going to wait about a month, and then you should have your producers on the ready.
Matt had no idea this was happening this time. I have him alerted.
I called him with this voice.
I said, if you hear something strange or you see an Elvin from Aliquippa, make sure you let me know that it's not legit. But no.
Nelly, if I called you right now on my phone, does it show up with my name on it or just my number?
The only time that I've ever seen caller ID was the day that Ron Cook announced his retirement.
And that was for Joe Namath. Right?
No, that was the Monday when it was first announced. So it was more of a.
All right, I'm calling 928-9370. You tell me what shows up there, and I'd be very curious as to how I'm getting by these people. I called Maddie, and this was my voice, Bob.
Hey, it's Elvin from Aliquippa.
Just like that, and he let me through.
He did.
Your general phone number. However,
so it is my number.
However, I did see a flash of your name, like it was like a snap of your name, and then it left and went right to your phone number.
All right. Well, Bob, let's get this out of the way. Why don't we hear what transpired Saturday? I think people need to hear it. I've called Bob's Saturday show many times. Robert from Robert Morris, Glenn from Glenn Willard a couple weeks ago. I knew I was taking a risk to call in as Alvin from Aliquippa. I was driving with my brother and my two little nieces and my dog, and they got a big kick out of the voice that I used. And Maddie Harkins was on the controls, and I used that voice. And he let me through, and this is how it went down, Bob.
Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino's very back up for you?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog, you.
That was the best.
Why do you have to do this? Why?
Alvin from Aliquippa.
I have Sean from Slippery Rock next. Am I supposed to think every time there's some sort of alliteration that it's you? This
Alvin
is like,
from
this is, well, so is Sean
enough.
From Slippery Rock. Are you the same guy on another line holding? Are you holding both lines right now? Sean from Slippery Rock, Alvin from Aliquippa? Don't you have,
hello to my brother,
you
Johnny.
You just
my
shot 40 on the front nine at Moon. You should be grinding to try to get to 39. And here you are wasting your time.
I think I'm making great use of my time, Bob. Say hello to my brother, Johnny.
Johnny from where? Jefferson?
Johnny from Buffalo. Say hi to Bob.
Johnny. Hi, Johnny, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Have you had to deal with this your entire life?
Unfortunately, this is my older brother, so my trauma is all coming right back to the man sitting next to me.
You sound traumatized, and I don't blame you.
Thank you, Bob.
I'll see you on Monday, Alvin. Thanks for the call. Oh, Joe Starkey. He just doesn't fail. All right, I'm not taking Sean. It could be him on another line. Let's go to Sean. Are you a real Sean? Or are you?
I can't believe I fell for that.
I fell for it, too.
Poor Maddie in the end. Bob, I think it worked out, and I didn't have anything better to do. We were driving.
I saw the video you showed me.
Was there any suspicion when you got out?
Yeah, there's suspicion every time. But again, if you have – I had a Sean from Slippery Rock.
But that's technically not really alliteration.
No, but it could be – whatever.
It would be Sean from –
You have gotten into my cranium to the point
– Sean from Shenango would be a problem.
That'll be next, I'm sure. You'll wait 3 weeks and nail me again, but – I'm not thinking this going into this, and I can't be worrying about every single caller that it's Joe Starkey in disguise. I just can't.
I know.
You dog, you.
That was my favorite part.
There was more to that than I was going to. That was a clean version of what I came up with.
That was so funny. We were dying on there, my brother and I. He's right. I probably traumatized him. He's 10 years younger than me. So when he was like 3, I would line him up at one end of our little tiny living room, throw him the ball, and I'd say, you have to run here and get the ball over the plane of the goal line, which was the couch. So just run and dive. And he was a maniac, but I would stop him on goal line stands.
Your parents had no problem with all of this activity going on, knowing that you were...
They didn't know any of it was going on. Oh. I also made the greatest play of my sports career against him, and he attacked me.
You dog, you.
We were playing wiffle ball, Bob. He was still fairly little. And, you know, you have to throw the ball at the person and hit them with the ball to get them out in wiffle ball.
Right.
Certain rules. He did a little dribbler in front of the plate. It went just over the eligible line. I ran up. I didn't have time to pick it up and throw, so I took a slap at the ball like you were playing handball or something. Just whacked it. It went on a direct line and hit him right in the spine just before he got to first base, and I started celebrating. If I tried that a billion times, I would never be able to do it, but I hit him right in the back, and he was clearly out, and I started celebrating, and he tried to attack me. He was still too little.
He had every right to.
So things like that definitely did traumatize him. You were right about that. Did you yell at Maddie behind the scenes?
Well, we went to the break. I said, Maddie, could you not tell? How did he talk to you? He goes, I don't remember. I said, well, you had to remember because it sounded completely weird. So anything weird is a red flag. You have Starkey lurking.
I don't think the voice I used on the air is necessary.
Starkey
lurking. Hey, boss, you think Gino's Gary could back up for you?
I think that's a legit question too, Bob.
Yeah, it is a legit question.
I'll try it again. In about a month.
Well,
be aware.
You know what made it successful when you returned is that you had taken a big lull. I had not heard from you in a long time, and so my suspicions were down, my guard was down, and then you picked your poison. You knew exactly. You're like Shawshank Redemption, one chip away, trying to get out of that prison. Chip, 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 chip. A year later, you're down in some sewage tank trying to get away.
But it's only been 3 weeks since Glenn Willard. That's why I thought.
I know. I thought you guys would be on high alert.
Well, I admit it's a little bit. If it was Al from Aliquippa, are you even taking the call? I had to add the Alvin.
I was going to take every call because I had forgotten. No, yeah. but honestly, there was a Sean from Slippery Rock. And as soon as I told Matt, I said, does that sound as, who is that? The Alvin got by both of us, so I didn't expect it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get that out in the open if there's any leftover feelings. I thought it
was. No, it was fun.
You dog you was
you
great.
You dog
line.
You. And there was.
You dog you.
That's a great line. Bob, shall we begin? Everything else okay with you?
Yeah. Need to play more golf. I haven't done it. But other than that, it's good.
Yesterday?
No, it was too cold.
Oh, by early
it
afternoon,
warmed up.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, but I was at work by then, so I couldn't
you
do
work
it.
Too much. That's problem number one. I think we need to play more golf.
It's a great way to get away from all the minutia, isn't it?
Yes.
Turn your phone off, smell the fresh air, get out and try to score.
Mike Tomlin talked at the, I guess it's the owners' meeting today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Orlando, Florida.
The AFC coaches breakfast. And we don't have sound, but I have the quotes. And he basically said that Russell's in the pole position. With Justin Fields. He said, rest assured, when it comes time to compete, Justin will be given an opportunity to compete. It will allow those guys to sort themselves out. Russell's in the pole position. I think his body of work justifies that. He's just got a lot of experience in terms of what it takes to be the guy over the course of a 12-month calendar, and I just think that's something that a younger guy like Justin can learn from. So, what he didn't say there was that this is going to be Russell's the guy, Justin is the backup. In fact, the term pole position, and I happen to know that Mike Tomlin is a big NASCAR fan because I asked him about that once, the term pole position implies that a competition is about to occur. You simply have the pole position. You have the advantage at the beginning. Or is he saying there, to your way of thinking, more what I mentioned in so many words, Russell Wilson would have to have a catastrophic happening in the preseason for this, for Justin Fields to start.
Yeah, but
what are you hearing
there?
How
would that look like? What would constitute a catastrophic?
I don't know.
He's not going to do much.
I know.
He's going to throw the ball, in shorts, no contact, and then he gets to a game. He may play a series or two. How are you going to judge that? You know what he is.
Well, maybe better phrased, Justin Fields would have to look unbelievable.
And even then, though, I don't know that he's going to go into this switching positions just because he looks unbelievable. He might, but I doubt it. I think they brought him here for a reason.
Well, why won't he just say then that Russell's our guy, he's the starter, Justin's going to learn for a while. Instead, he's sort of, in a little way, stoking these fires that Adam Schefter and Jason LaConfora helped set last week, right?
Yeah, I think it's okay to do that. No one's going to – he hasn't come out and said there is no competition, he's our starter. What he said was he's the guy right now who is going to be number one on the depth chart. That's okay.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be there, I think, and you just go through it. I personally want to see Fields do very well because I think 10 years difference in age makes a difference for them. They need to find this person who can be their guy multiple years. Russell Wilson says he wants to play 5 to 7. Okay, fine, you can say that, but to do it is a whole different thing. He's a different version of himself. He's a veteran who knows what he's doing and could help this team. But again, the biggest thing that will help this team right now and him and them is offensive line help. They really need it. Their offensive line doesn't have a lot of depth pieces to it right now. In fact, two starters are likely missing. They better figure that out before they do anything else.
Well, I had sort of the depressing version hit me this weekend as I was sitting around thinking about this. The depressing version of all this, and trust me, my real self, my well-adjusted self, if there is such a thing, and you might not know it from the voice I used when I called your show the other day, I do have a well-adjusted self. The depressing part is, all right, they've rearranged the deck chairs here, but they have two quarterbacks that literally not one other team wants as their starter, and they're the only two quarterbacks in the entire league who each have combined for more than 100 sacks plus turnovers in the last 2 years. The only two guys. Is this really better?
I think that's a legitimate question.
That's just part of me. The bigger part of me says, right. Hey, I love this. At least they're trying. They're not just saving face here, but you understand.
Yeah. Listen, the bigger part of you and me and a lot of people, when Mitch Trubisky came here, thought differently also. We knew what his past was. Same thing applies here. You know what their past is. And two teams passed on Russell Wilson, and the second of which was bigger. The first one, they were trying to move on, and they got a lot of assets, I get. But Denver had no reason in their minds why he was going to be successful there. I don't know why, because I thought he had a pretty good year last year. But and all that money, they're willing to eat that much. That's another question for me. If you're willing to eat $85 million, there's something wrong. Because to me, I would have just kept him and moved and try to make it work as opposed to doing it this way where they don't have any clear-cut notion who their quarterback is right now. So Russell Wilson has had success. People look at that success. They get enamored with that success. They think it still applies. Does it? Will it? We don't know. We know that he threw a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage. We know that he doesn't like to throw over the field. These are some of the same things we've been talking about with Kenny Pickett. He does have a good long ball. Justin Fields to me is more attractive as a, when they first got Russell, I didn't think they were going to get Fields, and then all of a sudden when the Pickett trade happened, I thought, something else is going to happen, and for a 6th round pick, it's a steal basically. Even if he does nothing, it's still a great move, but I think the talent is there. If they could refine the talent, that's the kind of guy who can really lift you up as a franchise.
Again, the better side of me loves this. That they've put some action to the words of we're not going to take this anymore. But again, there's the little guy on my shoulder, Bob. The little guy who thinks everything is wrong, who looks at my own personal future and sees it only as bleak.
You have to ignore that guy, except when it comes to analyzing football or baseball or soccer
or
hockey.
Well, he talks
teams.
In this kind of voice. It's the Trubisky train gone wrong voice. And he says to me, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are no better than the other guys. In fact, Mason Rudolph might be better than both. You don't have any receivers there. You have no center. you need another offensive lineman. Your best defenders are either aging or injured. This team's going to do what it always did before, and you know it. That's how he talks to me. And there might be some truth there, right?
Absolutely, there's truth there. And again, you have to keep that in mind when it comes to analyzing this. It's easy to get caught up in this because they're names. They're big names. Russell Wilson's had 9 Pro Bowls. This guy, Justin Fields, a first overall. The talent is off the chart. So you get enamored by that. Sometimes you have to look at the other side and say to yourself, why did these teams? Why did not one team? And there were teams that need quarterback help. I'm specifically referring to Fields now. Why would they not be interested? Why wouldn't Vegas go out and get a deal for him for a 6th-round pick? You're going to go with, what, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell? Those are your two over him?
Patrick Queen was only good because of Roquan Smith. Cam Hayward's going to retire.
E.J. Watt is turning 30.
You still need another corner.
You don't have a center.
You have to all of that. You have that guy too?
I don't have that. I try to shut that guy up, but he's there.
He's there.
He is there.
He's there.
You know when he shows up?
Yeah.
When I can't putt.
Right,
he says,
exactly.
You're joking. Joe Starkey's going to beat you. Why don't you just get aggressive instead of leaving these putts 3 feet short?
The ball is so small. Once you bring back the club, you'll never hit it square. That's what he says to me.
They're lurking in your brain. These are bad things. You got to move on from them.
I don't know. Are they any good?
He also tells me
the rest of the division.
I'm not willing to say they're good enough to win a division right now. I still think there are too many holes. And this applies to all teams. It's too early to make any kind of sense. You know the quarterback's in play in the AFC North. But there are so many other parts that need to happen here before this draft. And after this draft, and then we'll find out what the roster looks like, and then you can have a better idea.
Well, I'm going to talk back to him and tell him, what did you want? Them to come to camp with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph? I think Russell Wilson's still good. I think, first of all, the first year in Denver, he had Nate Hackett as his guy. By the way, Bob, I got to get this out early here. And this is no disrespect to this guy, because he was great in a Pitt uniform. But I was reading the Athletic's quarterback carousel story today, and I had to make sure, first of all, that it was 2024. Honest to God, I was like, wait a second, this is last year's. They have Nate Peterman as still a legitimate backup quarterback. He's fighting for the backup quarterback job with the Raiders. Is that real?
I don't know. If it is, it goes to show you that there must be a lot of dislike for Justin Fields around the NFL. If he can't come up with, for a sixth round, again, I keep going back to the 6th-round pick. It's one thing to say a 2nd-round pick. That now you're giving up some equity in a place you don't want to, maybe. But when it dropped this low, how could these other teams not be interested in him? Teams that have glaring needs,
I think,
at
quarterback. It's the Saints, not the Raiders. I apologize.
Whatever.
They go through every one. Every one of the quarterback changes, and again, I was sort of scrolling through it half asleep this morning. New Orleans Saints signed Nathan Peterman. And then I read it. Peterman will battle for the number 2 spot behind Derek Carr. This is where Kenny could have gone if he wanted. What's he doing? Why didn't he go to the Saints, Bob? Why didn't he go there? He'd be their starter, perhaps.
Maybe it was his choice. He wanted to be where he wanted to be, home. But he knows that that's a bad situation, because the only way he's going to get on the field at all is if there's an injury.
It says that when this spot opened behind Carr when Jameis Winston left. Peterman, meanwhile, has been in the league for 6 seasons. He's thrown 4 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions in 15 appearances with a 1-4 record. A number of people around the league scratched their heads over this signing, but Peterman is a low-cost addition. That's when I said, no, this isn't this year, but it was. Nate Peterman? Nelly, what's happening here? Have I lost my mind?
I think the Saints have lost their minds.
You go into a season with that guy as your backup. What are they doing, Bob?
I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know what they expect out of him, because I wouldn't expect much, but yet he's been around now for several years, making a nice little chunk of money being a backup that nobody wants.
Exactly. You just take a trip around the league. I was just shocked by that. But back to the point. is that I'm happy the Steelers have done this. I think Russell Wilson's going to be the starter, and I think he's going to be good. Oh, it was about Nate Hackett. The first year he was saddled with Nate Hackett. Nobody survives that. And the second year he was saddled with a coach who didn't want him. And I wouldn't be surprised, knowing Sean Payton's personality, if he was actively sabotaging the guy by the end of the season. So,
but if you're
so
the ownership in Denver, after you spent all that money, don't you say
you put
to him...
You put the coach over the quarterback, clearly, when you brought the
coach. Even with
in.
All of that at play, even with all you gave up and all the money you spent,
well,
2 years into this, you're just going to say it's a failure?
They spent a lot of money on Payton, too. I mean, they brought in the coach. The only reason they got Sean Payton, I'm sure, ultimately was to say it's your show, you do whatever you want. Where you don't have to be married. I bet you his first question to them when they called him was, do I have to be married to Russell Wilson? And clearly the answer was
okay,
no.
And why do you think he said that if he did?
Because he's not his style of quarterback, or maybe he thinks he's washed up.
Well, that's the thing that would concern me. If it's washed up, there may be a lot of people around the league who feel the same way.
See, I think clearly there are. You saw the market for Russell Wilson immediately. There was none.
Right.
And he met with the Giants and the Steelers.
So I don't, you know, that's
But having
that's
said that,
thing.
I saw it with my own two eyes. I still think he can play.
Well, I saw
I think
Kansas
the Steelers
City
are right on this one.
And what was it? The Buffalo game. Both of those games.
Yeah.
And when I watched Fields, I looked at a lot of games. I saw the four touchdown games, but I also saw horrible interceptions, fumbles because he was scrambling and not willing to get down. And, you know, these are things that...
Is he an upgrade on Pickett? And is that the only
I think talent-wise,
question?
He's the best option they have.
Is he an upgrade on Rudolph?
Again, talent-wise is my talent. If I look at his talent, I love his talent. It's about harnessing all the stuff that he did wrong, getting rid of it, and because there's just too much there that can break other people's defenses. When you're scrambling, you know, again, his legs are a big asset, ones that they should utilize. Third and seven, nobody's open. He breaks it down. You think you have it covered. Next thing you know, they get 10 yards and another set of downs. It's defeating if you're a defense. So I love the talent. His arm intrigues me. It's just his decision-making sometimes of where he throws balls. Just the same as Kenny Pickett. Same concerns.
What are your feelings? Bob and I would love to talk to you. Perhaps Alvin from Aliquippa is out there. Glenn from Glenn Willard, if you want to call. You may be out there at 412-928-9370. And here's the question. Are we deluding ourselves? I'm asking myself that question. It's just a question. I've written, I've said a million times, I love this. At least they're doing something different. But sometimes just doing something different for the sake of doing something different isn't the answer. Like, are they going to wind up in the same spot after all this? I at least wonder that. I'll defend it to the nth degree, but I'm also aware it could wind up gaining nothing.
And if that happens, if it both doesn't work, you know, then where are they in terms of their search for a quarterback? Because whoever they draft in this draft, I would be surprised if they turn out to be, you know, you're not going to play immediately, so you're not going to get that opportunity. You know, what is that person then? Does he sit around, and, you know, like so many of others have done here for long periods of time and never play?
Are you
like
legitimately
Josh Dobbs when
right.
he was chosen?
Exactly.
Like, who was the guy from Oregon, the quarterback who came here in the fifth round, I think it was. You know, Dixon.
Dennis Dixon.
He sat around, didn't really do much. They wasted picks on these guys. But you have to have them.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of this is, are you legitimately excited about this? I actually am. The bigger part of me is excited about this and giving the Steelers a bunch of credit for at least trying to do it differently. So what you did was bring in, I think, a very accomplished quarterback who is durable, who hasn't missed a lot of time because of injury, and who's coming off a good season, and that's Russell Wilson. And then you're bringing in a very high-ceiling guy with a ton of potential in Justin Fields. At least you're not settling.
No, I give them credit for going outside their comfort zone.
But that doesn't mean it'll work. These are two risks, not financial risks, but they're two risks for sure. I mean, this is a whole season you're putting in that basket. So whether or not you spend $10 or $100 million, it's still a gigantic risk to take one more year out of T.J. Watt's career, Minka, maybe the final year for Cam, and have this be your quarterback plan. I don't want to hear that they didn't risk anything. They're risking a whole season. And a season is a lifetime in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think they came out of their comfort zone. I think they know, and you heard Tomlin talk about winning championships. He was disappointed they didn't do one for Pouncey. I'm sure he feels the same way about Cam Hayward right now. He wants to get him an opportunity to win something before it's too late. And I think this is a reaction to that. I really do. So they decided there's some availabilities here. We're going to go for them, and we're going to go against what we believe, because if you had said at the beginning of Kenny Pickett being drafted in the first round, he'd have the shortest stint of most every number one pick, I would have laughed. No, they're talking about him. They see things they like. It takes time. I would never thought he'd be here 2 years and gone.
There's got to be a contingent of people who still feel like they've done wrong here. And maybe some who feel like Mason Rudolph's still the best guy out there. But bottom line is Mike Tomlin has now declared Russell Wilson officially in the pole position. Are you excited about this as a Steeler fan? What do you think the reaction would be about a bunch of people who are excited around here, Bob, if Justin Fields, let's say the Browns were able to get out from Deshaun Watson's contract. They just, you know, they didn't want the headache anymore and magically could get out. And let's say the Browns had signed Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Do you think people would be saying what a great move it was?
I would have been, because I don't like Deshaun Watson at all. I think that was a waste of everything. I said it at the time. I don't care what he looked like before. With all this stuff that he's gone through, he's not the same. The layoff hurt him.
I think people would have been ripping the moves left and right if the Browns had done them.
I don't. I wouldn't have been.
Well, you wouldn't have been. I'm saying a lot of the people around here.
Well, they screwed up by going away from Baker Mayfield. That's one time where patience would have been a virtue and a necessity. They had something good there, but they weren't willing to hang around for it.
No, I hear that. But
they should have done
that. My point is about fans here or anywhere. If your team makes a big move like this, you're thrilled. If somebody else makes it, you're ripping it to shreds. So I want to know, bottom line to that is, how many people are legitimately excited about this and would have been if I had told you about this 2 months ago, that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields would be here with Russell in the pole position? 412-928-9370. I'm also going to tell you what Mike Tomlin said about the Deontay Johnson trade and what Tomlin and John Harbaugh both said about Patrick Queen. Some very interesting stuff. This is Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. A lot of Steelers, a lot of Penguins, a lot of college basketball to talk about today. South Hills Kia fan Twitter, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the all-important fan text line. We want your name, where you're texting from, and a hot take of some kind, of any kind. You can be very creative with our friend Nelly here. And the number is 412-928-9370. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nelly?
I'll tell you after. It's going to break your heart.
Wait, you're teasing to a story?
No, but there is something in a headline that I'm about to say, if you want to stay tuned for that.
Are you kidding me, Bob? Nelly has me very intrigued here.
That's a good tease.
Yeah, this is a cliffhanger. All right, Nelly, we'll get to that next. All right, it turned out that Nelly's problem was in-house. It wasn't a real radio tease, and for that I apologize. The real radio tease, Bob, was Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh talking about Patrick Queen. Harbaugh says, Patrick, great player, great guy, one of my all-time favorite people. I love Patrick Queen. We're going to be friends forever. But they didn't want to sign him, did they, Bob?
Well, I don't know if that's indicative of anything. They have so much money tied up in their inside linebackers. You know, this is a cap age. You got to figure out what you need, and sometimes you're going to lose players. When you bring in Roquan Smith with the salary he has, I don't know if you have room for Patrick Queen. I thought that when they acquired him. I said, okay, it's good for now, but who's going to pay him? Turns out the Steelers paid him.
Tomlin says he's an all-situations linebacker, three-down player, can do a lot of things, can tackle, cover, blitz. He's 24 and a half years old, so he's got that great combination of youth and experience. And I think that those are some of the reasons we're really excited he went on, Bob, I can't tell you how exciting it is just because of the familiarity as well. We've seen a lot of him. He's seen a lot of us, and it's going to be an exciting marriage. Do you agree with that?
I mean, it should start that way, sure. I mean, the honeymoon period is going to be spectacular. You know, then the longer it goes, we'll see. They still need help on the inside. And I do think, again, that little guy on your shoulder, Joe, is Patrick Queen the result of playing by Roquan Smith because he didn't start very well in his career?
I think it might have been.
If you look
but
at
he
Queen's,
came on,
but if
man.
You look at, but he did only after Roquan Smith.
I like
he has a lot of talent. Don't get me wrong, and I think he could be very good. I'm just saying.
Wait, breaking news, Bob. Hold on.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Is it a notable receiver?
Quez Watkins from the Philadelphia Eagles, a wide receiver, is reportedly signing a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like him.
You do?
Yes. I saw him in preseason a couple of times, and I liked him then. And, again, I think he was behind too many people at times and maybe didn't get as many, but I do think he's a player who can help them.
Sixth-round pick out of Southern Miss, 4 years in the NFL's best season was 21. He had 43 catches, 15 yards a catch, and a touchdown, and then he just basically disappeared as they brought in A.J. Brown.
Well, again, that changes
everything.
There's
not a lot of room there.
No, and I think that's the kind of situation that makes you know that he just didn't have an opportunity, so I think that's a good deal. I'm sure it didn't cost him a lot either.
But nothing to be excited about. They still need a receiver
right.
Desperately.
That was from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.
Jeremy Fowler. Thank you, Nelly. That was very nice of you. So Patrick Queen, I'm excited to watch him play. I am. There's legitimate questions about what he'll be without Roquan, but the hope is that he grew and learned that position from the guy, too. He was second team all pro.
Yeah,
depending on which numbers you look at, he's a decent coverage guy, at least. He's a sudden and violent blitzer. Sometimes not a great tackler when you really look at it, Bob, but good enough. And he can make plays sideline to sideline. He can do that.
Well, the thing is, it's probably the best signing they've made since the injury to Ryan Shazier. I mean, that's 7 years of this.
Yeah.
You know, so I think. And you know, Landon Roberts is a good player. I think a Landon Roberts can have a big impact on him too. Not to the level maybe of Roquan Smith, but he's certainly been around. He's a vocal leader. He's a good player. He knows how to tackle. I think that could be a nice thing.
Here are the highest paid inside linebackers in the NFL. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith. I'm going average salary. Roquan Smith, $20 million. Fred Warner, $19 million. Tremaine Edmonds, who I wish they had gotten last year, $18 million, and Patrick Queen at $13 million. And those are the only four guys in the NFL with double-digit contracts. How about that? The fifth guy is all the way down to Demario Davis, all the way down to $8.6 million, Bob. Then C.J. Mosley, guys like that, and aging Bobby Wagner. So I think I made a mistake a couple weeks ago. Just because the overall contract at $13 million doesn't blow your mind, I'm like, they're really not paying him as a star. But for inside linebackers, they're paying him to be one of the best in the game. They are.
And that's a good price, too. It wasn't as what I thought it might be, approaching $16 to $17 million. So $13 million is a good deal. And like I said, it was a huge position of need. It has been for many years. Last year, they thought they did it pretty well, and then injuries, you know, ravaged the room. So it's a step in the right direction there.
We're going to have Jason Mackey at 1 o'clock talking about some pirate moves that Nelly was just
the roster's
explaining
out.
To you. The roster's out. Why don't we get to that at the top of the hour?
Okay.
That's a nice little radio tease, Bob. Meantime, we threw out a question. Whether sort of the negative side of you is getting to you on these signings now that the initial excitement has worn off. Are you starting to maybe have second thoughts about how good this is going to turn out at quarterback? We're talking. I'll admit, a side of me is rearing its ugly head, telling me bad things, but I'm still giving the Steelers a ton of credit for what they did, and I still think Russell Wilson's going to be good this season. Let's go to the phone lines.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No, go ahead.
Did you want to make a point?
I was going to say, what would constitute a change from Russell Wilson? And it won't happen in the preseason, regardless of what they say.
That's a great question.
What would constitute? How long would Wilson have to struggle before they would make that move?
That's a great question. The only thing that has me thinking about the first part of that and Schefter, an executive telling Schefter, man, don't be surprised if they move on in the preseason, is if Justin Fields is unbelievably good, like really impressive, and they just say, you know what, we're going to move forward with this guy, and we have no commitment to Russell at all. So thanks for your time. You were able to mentor this guy.
Yeah, but don't they keep him as a backup?
Maybe.
Can't just get rid of him.
I don't know. But as far as being a starter, if Fields comes in and blows them away, Tomlin has left room semantically for that to happen, and I think there's room for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think Russ is going to be really good. I think it would only take a couple games of it being horrible, though, to make a change, to answer your question. You?
Yeah, it just depends on how he plays, and is he the result of all this, of losing? Is he the reason that they haven't been? But I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think he's veteran enough. He knows how to play this position enough that they're going to be a run-heavy team. I don't think there's any question about that. So the opportunities will be there if that's successful. I thought also it was interesting that Mike Tomlin did not give a firm commitment about a fifth-year option for Najee Harris.
That was interesting. We're going to get into that and also his comments on Deontay, whether or not he requested a trade, and Kenny, whether or not he requested a trade. Of course, Tomlin, like every coach, you can't believe anything that he says. He went in front of the media this year and said, basically, a lot of times I'm just BSing you guys. A lot of people don't believe his explanation of who got rid of Matt Canada. So I'm sorry, but people quoting Tomlin as if it's the gospel truth, you're out of your mind. And the same with every other coach. They ain't getting paid to tell you or me the truth. And that's, he admitted it this year. Anyway, Nelly, let's go to the phone lines, shall we?
Let's go to Chris in Swissvale.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Bob. Point Mark alum.
There you go. The pioneer legend continues.
Now, it continues, Bob. It's never ending, brother. We're actually there at the same time. Hey, you know, I'm encouraged to see the process change, but I don't think the results are going to be any different. You know, you have one quarterback that was paid $38 million to go away, and another one who's 17 and 30 is a starter. They're going to be, you know, whatever, 9-8, maybe make a wild card game, get crushed. Both of these guys hold the ball too long. They don't read fast enough, and they take way too many sacks. On the Steelers' offense, that's going to be run heavy. You cannot take losses on throwing downs, and that's where they're going to be.
Man, is that depressing, huh?
Well, again,
but he has points.
He has points, but I'm willing to suggest that their quarterback play should get better. And if it does, you know, I would think they're going to be able. You know, I know what they want to do. They want to possess the same remedy, not
and they run,
or recipe.
They,
not
they
many
want to
of
go
these,
back to play action, Bob.
Well, they play action's good to do. They should
yes,
do it,
of course.
Yeah, but you got to take your. You know, you got to be successful on first down or second down or whatever, but. You have to be successful generally, and they were. They were a good running team last year, so I expect that to continue.
They were a good running team that didn't take advantage of it until the tail end of the season when Mason was able to do a little bit of play action.
Right?
412-928-9370 coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Nelly, who's next?
We'll go to Mike in Shaler.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
So I think there's definitely reason to be concerned, but I would be more optimistic about just the change in athleticism and the change in arm talent for your first two QBs in the room, no matter how it plays out. Kenny did some things well, but he left a lot of plays out there every single game, and I just don't think he ever proved that he had the arm talent that he was going to be able to improve that much. I think getting Fields and getting Wilson, you have two guys who have at least proven that they can really push the ball down the field, which Mason did well at the end of the season, and it was a component the team was missing all year. And then the last thing, I got to give Tom credit for the way he handled the questions about Deontay and Kenny yesterday when I read about it. Is some of the things that he said and some of the things that he didn't say in regards to specifics about some of the bellyache and those guys might have been doing. I think Kenny lost the locker room, and the team realized he was never going to get it back.
Interesting you should say that, and we appreciate the call, because Tomlin, according to Brooke Pryor, said no, Kenny didn't ask for a trade. I find that very hard to believe, as an example of things hard to believe coming from Tomlin or, again, any coach. Don't you, Bob?
Yeah, I find that there was a comment I saw yesterday and made me think, if you read it, you came to the conclusion that it was Pickett who wanted to move on, and they wanted to give him a chance to move on. Very different than what Deontay ended up getting. Deontay, he may regret putting himself in a position where they felt the need to get rid of him, because now you have a better, I think, quarterback situation here than you do in Carolina, which I don't know what Bryce Harper's going to – Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, I like that.
It's baseball season week, Joe, so I'm in, when we're talking about Bryce, that's what I'm thinking, what Bryce Young is going to be like. So, I don't know. I just know they need work to do in their wide receiving core, regardless of Quez Watkins or not.
Well, I'm trying to look for the – oh, here it is. Tomlin on the decision to deal Pickett. From his perspective, he felt like a change of scenery would be a good thing.
Now that's his quote, right?
Yeah, and then he said, obviously, when we
felt – he felt a change of – meaning Pickett felt.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that means he's probably asked for the trade then, right?
Yes, which is what I've thought all along, which is what everybody's thought.
Except Brooke Pryor made it sound like –
Well, wait a second. Now, was she talking about Pickett or Deontay? That's the question here, Bob.
I don't know.
That's the question. I don't know. Who cares? He's gone right now. And the two quarterbacks that have come in here have positives and negatives on their resumes. And that's the question out there. Nelly, one more call to finish off the hour.
Let's go to Vincent Kennedy.
Hello, Vincent Kennedy.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be on the show. I have a question. I want to get your guys' feedback on something. You know, all the analysts say, some of these analysts say that after 20-some games, you can see where the quarterback's going to be. Obviously, Kenny Pickett wasn't where we wanted him to be. But on his picking up for Kenny was maybe it was because of the offensive coordinator. Justin Fields doesn't have a very good record in his first so many seasons. So, like, why are you guys excited? Why are you guys more excited about Justin Fields and Kenny Pickett? They both came from systems that they're saying it was because of the system. Just want to get your feedback on that.
I am. I don't know really what he asked, but I'm more excited about Justin Fields than I have been about Pickett in a long time. By the way, my bad. Brooke Pryor said that Deontay didn't request a trade. It's very
no,
clear.
No, that's what I mean. There's a difference
that
there.
Kenny did, yeah.
Kenny did. He didn't. And then he gets shipped out to
well,
a place.
Well, do you believe that? Do you believe that Deontay did not request a trade? That he... I mean, is it a matter of semantics?
Know.
He came off as being a little bit unhappy, yes?
Yes. I don't know what the real truth is. All I know is that they didn't do him any favors going to Carolina. I don't think, right? He's in a contract year. Is he going to be the guy who's the number one guy down there?
What did they get in that trade, Bob?
Not much, I don't think. Right? They got the guy who's the veteran cornerback who could, you know, he looks like a slot corner to me. He's... You know, and they signed him. They redid whatever deal he had. So, and that would be Jackson, the cornerback they had down in Carolina.
Yeah, and Tomlin explained that, hey, we needed a corner, so we went out and got him. Yeah. I mean, it seemed clear
but
that they didn't want Deontay
around. But he got injured
in surgery,
and he hasn't done much in 2 years. So, you know, I don't know what to expect from him.
So the Chiefs traded L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans for a third-round pick. Do you wish that the Steelers had dealt Deontay Johnson to the Chiefs and I would have thrown in a draft pick?
I mean, they wanted him, and if I would have gotten that in return, I would have done it for sure.
Have you seen the numbers on L'Jarius Sneed going against number one receivers from last year? So he's a legit shutdown guy.
And even if you give Kansas City a weapon,
I would have given
Patrick
him Deontay
Mahomes
and a third round pick to get L'Jarius Sneed.
But the only thing is, there's a lot of money involved with Sneed, and you have to figure all that out.
That's
in the
fine. I just took away Deontay's money.
Yeah. So you know? I'm saying I would, if you're asking me, yes, I would have done that. That's the one guy I was really, even more so than Patrick Queen. I saw that, you know, they weren't going to come to terms with him. That's a guy who can fit right in immediately and still young enough to do the job.
Now you see what the Chiefs do here too. Like L'Jarius Sneed, great player, but as the lead to this story on ESPN goes by the guy who covers them, I think it's Adam Teicher. The Chiefs began planning for the eventual loss of L'Jarius Sneed 2 years ago when they picked Trent McDuffie. He was a first-team All-Pro as a slot corner. Now he's going to move. They kind of know what they're doing in Kansas City,
they do.
Don't they, Bob?
And they
remember
anticipate.
All the teeth gnashing over Tyreek Hill? What are they going to do? I don't know. Win two Super Bowls in a row?
And you see what they got in return for him. They saved money. They didn't have to give it to him. And now they have a whole bunch of draft picks coming, too. So, yeah, they're thinking down the road as well as the current situation. But it's nice to have a guy like Patrick Mahomes because he can make a lot of things happen.